Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Old Testament book of Job, the 19th chapter. We hear these very familiar verses. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may have had, or even currently may have, a teacher that really stands out in your mind as you're growing up. For me, my favorite teacher was a gentleman I had at seminary. He taught both at our seminary and here in the college, named Mark Harsted. Some of you here remember him. Mark lost his life to blood cancer about 6 or 7 years ago or so, and had a great impact on so many of us. As the college chaplain, he asked me to come and bring him the Lord's Supper one day when he was in the Mayo Clinic. And I went over to visit him, and when I came into his room, he said, if you'd been here 5 minutes earlier, you would have seen 5 doctors standing around my bed. And he said, they spent 45 minutes on my case. And he said, they were looking through my charts, and they were just pouring over information and everything about my health. And he said, I thought, just think of the brain trust that it was here around my bed. 5 people, the brightest minds in the world to deal with the human body and to deal with health. And he said, they were just trying with the greatest intensity in conversation to try to figure out an answer to his upcoming death. Think of those doctors. One of those doctors, who do you think has more life insurance on his life? That one of those doctors or one of the custodians that works out in the hall, sweeping the halls? Isn't it interesting that even the brightest minds that human beings can produce, the most intelligent people who can try to work against death, even they have to insure their own lives for their family's sake? Job, in the text before us, describes the horrifying effects that death has on us and our bodies. He says, after my skin is destroyed. When I was in about 5th grade, I remember running into some of the, for the first time, pictures of the Holocaust during World War II and many of the Jewish people in the concentration camps like Auschwitz who sometimes their bodies were just piled up like garbage. And it just goes right through you to see pictures like that. They claim right now in Ukraine, too, that there are mass graves of some of the Ukrainian citizens. To see the human body treated like that, it really goes deep into your gut to see that. It's just horrifying because you can picture yourself in it so easily. You can identify it. So it's different than seeing a deer between here and St. Peter. This is something that is just dealing with your future and your own potential death. And why in the world do we have to deal with this? Why does it have to be part of this world that we're in? Well, the Bible tells us that it came along with the Siamese twin, and that is sin. So you and I don't have to look any further than our own consciences, the lies that we've told, the greed that we have, the lust that rages inside of us, the materialism, the self-centeredness, all of that is why we have to deal with death. It's because of that. The wages of sin is death. It's all connected. That's not, God didn't create us to die. He didn't create us to sin. The reason those two issues are in our life is because of that horrific fall. And I know when I was in college, it was very easy for me to put thoughts about this off. I thought, I'm gonna get to live a nice long life. Well, maybe, maybe not. How many people in this sanctuary right now, at age 20, let's say, have possibly already lived 80% of your life or more? We don't know. That's the other terrifying thing about this enemy, is it pays no respect to anything. It could care less where you're at in life. It has no compassion. It has no sensitivity or feelings about you. People have died coming home from prom night. People have died on their wedding night. People have died in bed. People have died at work. People have died in church. It could care less where it hits us. As the hymn writer Brorson said, "Death doth pursue me all the way. It comes by night, he comes by day, and takes his prey most surely." Now, knowing the reality of that, and here's Job in the midst of his horrific suffering, blisters all over his body. He's already lost his family. He's lost his entire estate. And here he is facing his own death, but he expresses such joy and such confidence. Despite facing all of that, he says, "I know that my Redeemer lives." He's pointing ahead to Easter. "I know that my Redeemer lives." Now, it's interesting that he calls Christ his Redeemer, a Redeemer. Let's get a picture of what it is to be a Redeemer. They claim that the two countries right now where the highest kidnappings take place are in England and Pakistan. I don't know why, but those two countries have the highest rate of kidnapping according to the United Nations. And often in a kidnapping, the kidnappers will demand a particular price to be paid, a ransom that has to be put in some kind of case or bag in order to purchase the victim out of the kidnapping situation. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ took his own body and his own death and placed it into the case, placed it into the bag, if you will, the ransom bag, to purchase you and me out of our sinful condition. And when he died on Good Friday, that was as if that was like handing the bag over for it now to be counted, to see if the ransom price would be enough. And God the Father took it and looked at it Friday night, all day Saturday, and then Sunday morning had the resurrection of Christ be his way of declaring it was enough, it was sufficient. That meant that all of the things you and I have sinned against God that would have kept us out of heaven have been paid for by the blood of Christ. Isn't it amazing to think that the very ransom price that had to be paid was God? You ever thought about that? The price that had to be paid for you to go to heaven was God. And that's exactly what happened. The Son of God, God himself, dies. God died so that you and I would not have to be afraid of death and could have all of our sins paid for. That same professor I talked about, Mark Harstead, was the one that taught us Old Testament studies on the book of Job. And I looked back this week studying for my homily today and looked at some of the notes that he gave us. I just want to read something that I quoted directly from him in class, talking about Job. He says, "There is no perfect solution to the problem of evil now, but only in glory." And then he said, Romans 8:18 is the answer. If you look up that passage, it says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." And that's why Professor Harstead that day, when I came to see him, said to me at the end of that conversation about the doctors, when I took out my little communion kit, "This is the medicine I need. This is the medicine I need." Job says, "After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. It will be your glorified body," holding on to Christ by faith, "it'll be your glorified body that comes out of the grave, and it'll be your eyes in a glorified state that now get to see Christ in his eternal glory." I just want to close with one last thought. Years ago in Chicago, around the turn of the century, into the early 1900s, there was a man by the name of George Pullman. And George Pullman ended up being an extremely wealthy businessman. And he was just ruthless to his employees, treated them horribly. And he was a very greedy and self-centered and materialistic man. And when he died, he requested, and they did it, they buried him in a grave outside of Chicago that has 6 feet of concrete poured on every side around his grave, because he knew that the people who were so angry with him might try to desecrate his grave, and that was his way to protect it. If you're living, if you in your life right now are living for the things of this world, that's about as good as you're going to get a really nice, thick lining to your dead body. That's all this world is going to give you. God invites you, through faith in your Redeemer, to live for the glorification of your body, the rising of your body, and the great resurrection of the dead. Your Lord wants you to know what that's like and to enjoy that and to let your own eyes get to experience that day and the glory that will follow in heaven. He says to you, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. Let us pray. Please rise. O God, by the work of our Lord's resurrection, you have enlightened all of us with the wonderful glory and hope of heaven. Preserve in all of your people the spirit of adoption that you have given to us, so that, renewed in both body and soul, we may now serve you in all purity. Through the same, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. We remain standing for the hymn.